Welcome to the Armour Men's Health Show with Dr. Mystery and Donna Lee.
Hello and welcome to the Armour Men's Health Show. This is Dr. Mystery, your host, and always joined by my co-host, Donna Lee.
Hello. Welcome back to our show, everybody. Thank you so much for listening.
Donna.
Yes.
I'm a board-certified urologist.
Are you?
Yes. And you're a certifiable comedian.
Board-certified co-host.
Yes. Mental health certified, too, as I understand. Maybe. This show is brought to you by NAU, Urology Specialists. That's the group that I started in 2007, a long time ago.
Boy, you keep saying it. You just keep getting older.
Boy, we are getting older every time we do this show. We have six urologic physicians, one interventional radiologist. We have six wonderful advanced practice providers. That's PAs and nurse practitioners. Mm-hmm. We have pelvic floor physical therapy in the office. We have sex therapy. We have a health coach. We have in-house sleep medicine. And most importantly, a commitment to treating the whole you when it comes to your urologic needs. So Donna, how do people get a hold of us and become our patients?
You can call us at 512-238-0762 and our website, armormenshealth.com, where you can see our smiling little faces there. And you can also submit a question at the top right that says, surprisingly, submit a question here. And we'll answer them anonymously for Dr. Mystery or one of our providers or even one of our special guests, one of whom we have here today.
You know what they call the guy who didn't get into medical school?
Don't do it.
Dentist Max Kerr. Thank you so much for joining us today, Dr. Kerr.
I was wondering when that was dropping.
Exactly. You know, it's funny. And thanks for having me, by the way. My wife, we were in some sort of CE course. My wife was with us. Oh, it was a dental sleep medicine course. And she said, made the comment, you know, real doctors, like in front of a room full of dentists, and they all just turned around. Yes. Nobody was smiling. And I was just like, oh man. My gosh.
In front of a room full of dentists.
Yeah. She was on the couch that night.
Yeah, no. I mean, I there's a piece of me that agrees with it. So, you know.
That's why he's doing sleep medicine.
Exactly.
That's right. That's what I think about ophthalmologists too, but don't tell them.
Well, yeah. We have told them.
So you and I, our relationship is extraordinarily unique and largely grew out of the fact that I did your vasectomy.
Yes.
And
so I forgot about that.
We touch each other's holes.
Yes,
right.
We did. And you take care of my mouth. So yeah. I appreciate our reciprocal relationship. So
I got embarrassed just now.
Why?
My face just turned red. I don't know. Keep going.
Oh, nice.
We need to put this on video.
So
we actually treat each other at the same time.
No,
which
we
really. That's the most interesting.
Party right there.
That's
it's like that Seinfeld episode in the dentist.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
So, what really prompted my relationship with sleep medicine was my belief that thousands of patients that we treat for low testosterone that would continue to tell me that they feel fatigue, and when I was looking at them, they had so many things wrong with them that I wondered if they had a mirror at home. Right? Yeah. Because they come to us at 280 pounds, not exercising, and they want testosterone to fix them. And it's not going to fix them because they need to exercise and they need to sleep better and they need to do all these things. So I knew this and I could see that the services were not available. So that's why we introduced weight loss into our program here. That's where that came from. Health coaches. And then sleep medicine is probably one of the most unique relationships between urology and sleep medicine. So Dr. Kerr, would you explain to our listeners, what is obstructive sleep apnea? Because everyone thinks it's snoring. Mm-hmm. And that's such a mistake.
Well, and thank you for diving into that. And first of all, y'all's practice is absolutely amazing. Just to kind of recreate where I came from, I had low testosterone. I was working out all the time and I was really tired all the time. I was always sore, could not really build muscle or anything. So I came to you guys and then y'all worked me up. And actually you got me on your weight loss program. I don't know if you remember, but I ended up losing a bunch of weight and getting really pleased at what I saw in the mirror. There was still a little bit left
from the belly button up, I imagine.
Well, you can speak towards that. That's one thing that I will always make jokes on is my what is it?
Penis.
Well, that and the lack of size, yeah. Basically more than anything. And so you know, I've been through your program, and then I just saw that there was a way that we could help each other, because knowing myself, I was still tired even after the testosterone, and I found out that I had sleep apnea, right? And so this is kind of the thing that we see. And what actually, going back to your question, what is sleep apnea? Well, essentially, sleep apnea is where the muscles of the upper airway fail to stay intact while we're breathing, while we're asleep. So traditionally in the REM stage of sleep, what ends up happening is our body fully relaxes, and especially our skeletal muscle. And this is an evolutionary process, because if our muscles were still intact or taking innervation during REM, we'd be living out those fantastical dreams, and it'd just be pure chaos for the human condition, right? Just, you just can't do that, right? Which I had a wild dream about myself last night. I won't get into it. Yeah, it was bizarre. But either way, but you know, I hope I can. I definitely didn't want to act that one out. All that being said, is
that's part two.
Yeah, part two. So our muscles are not tight any longer in our upper airway. And so when the muscles in our upper airway are not tight, as we draw a breath in, the airway either closes down fully or partially. And that's an apneic episode. That corresponds with an oxygen level decrease. When this occurs, the body has to arouse out of sleep, and so we can maintain an open upper airway so we can breathe effectively, because the body needs oxygen. It's the first thing that we do when we are alive is when we're breathing. The last thing we do when we die.
And physiologically, we have a lot of safety mechanisms within our body to keep us from choking to death.
Exactly.
Once we're not oxygenating well, that means our carbon dioxide level goes up in our bloodstream. And then that really prompts a fight or flight reflex.
Exactly.
And so if you're choking, you can imagine, you know, if you're a listener out there, that when you're choking, you're not relaxed. All of a sudden, your body gets heightened up. You get stressed.
Fight or flight.
Our body releases cortisol, which is a hormone that's designed to get us through hard times, but it's a damaging hormone.
Yeah, especially if it's chronic. Yeah. And that's what this disease is.
If it's happening every night.
If it's happening every single night.
Every night, you're choking yourself.
I always like to tell my patients, it's oftentimes...
And not recreationally.
Yeah, exactly. Not for their arousals, right?
Yes.
This is like when your car's in the garage and you're not in it, but somebody is, and it's just constantly revving in the engine. Over time, the car wears out a lot quicker than it normally would. And essentially, that's what's happening to your cardiovascular system, your endocrine system, your... bladder and your kidneys.
For sure.
You know, and so what we see with people that have sleep, we call it sleep disordered breathing, because like you said, it's not just snoring. Snoring is a part of it. It's sleep apnea. It's also upper airway resistance syndrome. But either way, whenever the body feels as though the airway is being compromised while we're asleep, like you said, it goes through an arousal. That arousal will just give us a fight or flight response, and that offsets any of the benefits that we gain from deep and restful sleep.
And from a urologic standpoint, I'll start with just urology. If you are not oxygenating well at night, these are the things that we see very commonly. Number one, if you're on testosterone and your blood counts go high and somebody's telling you to go donate blood, our rates of having that happen drop almost 80% when we fix people's sleep apnea.
No kidding.
Because sleep apnea is like almost like living at a higher altitude, you know, where the oxygen levels are lower.
100%.
And when you live at a higher altitude, your blood counts go up as a compensatory mechanism. And so after treating sleep apnea, our rates of that have gone down.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Another thing is at night, we're supposed to make a hormone where we make less urine called diuretic hormone. And that's natural. But if you have sleep apnea, you don't make that ADH hormone. And that's why you end up getting up and peeing frequently at night. So if you're getting up frequently at night to pee, and every time you go pee, you're peeing a lot, not just a little, a lot, that's a sign of what we call polyuria, and obstructive sleep apnea can be a big component of that. When it comes to the type of doctors that's treating it, I mean, you're a dentist. How does a dentist, or why would a dentist treat sleep apnea?
Well, there's a few of us that have become the arbiters of the airway, or at least the upper airway. And the reason is because there's really no other physician or doctor or medical professional that's actually looking at this area. ENTs will usually stay kind of in the neck or in the nose, but very rarely do they get in the mouth. Usually the dentist does. And so what we have the ability to do is we can move the lower jaw forward. And when we move the lower jaw forward, then that takes the tongue off the back of the throat. And when we take the tongue off the back of the throat, that tightens up the muscles of the upper airway. When this occurs, it keeps the airway nice and open. And that allows us to breathe effectively while we're asleep.
And so multiple different kinds of doctors treat sleep apnea. So dentists,
correct.
Then we have ENTs that we've had on the show. We have people that are just sleep medicine neurologists. And where you go is going to dictate how you get treated.
Exactly.
Because when the doctor has a hammer,
and
if their hammer is surgery, or their hammer is CPAP, or their hammer is a dental appliance, which we're going to talk about in the next segment, that's what you're going to get. And so if you're out there and you think that you may be suffering from sleep apnea, and most importantly for the wives listening, if you think that your husband is choking himself to death at night and you're not telling
somebody,
you're not
the one doing
that.
It.
Just means that you're
maybe they don't want.
That
to
means
tell.
You're an accessory, yeah, okay? Right. An accessory.
Exactly.
So because you know, and women can get sleep apnea too, right?
Oh, correct. And what's weird is the type of individual that we see. Traditionally, it's older men that we see that have sleep apnea. Sometimes young, like myself, or younger. But oftentimes, women that look a lot like Donna, very slender, very tight. Nice.
Wow.
Yeah. Young, Jeez. Young.
Welcome back.
Now I'm getting flushed.
Yeah. Young, beautiful women.
Young, tight.
Wow. Yeah.
Big
this
titties.
Is a great
stubble.
Segment.
Yeah. Lord.
No, but what they will have is what you talked about earlier is that cortisol. They'll have cortisol going through their veins. And so throughout, like chronically. And so they'll oftentimes have, like, they'll be very anxious. And so we'll see individuals like that also have sleep disordered breathing. Mm.
Well, thank you, Dr. Kerr. Hello, and welcome back to the Armour Men's Health Show. I'm Dr. Mystery, your host, board-certified urologist, and founder of NAU Urology Specialists, the premier place to get urologic care in Central Texas, far as I'm concerned.
Oh, self-taught there.
Joined always by my wonderful co-host, Donna Lee.
That's right. Welcome back to my suppleness. I appreciate you all listening.
The first award we got for our show was an old band award that you gave to us. I appreciate that.
You know what? It was a junior high school award. We got an award from FeedSpot,
yes.
And we were the best men's wellness podcast. Yes. Number two, I'm sorry. We were the second best out of, like, I don't know, two of them.
Pulled in some
and
silver.
Then we didn't have an award for it, so I got my junior high band award for it, and I put a little sticky note over the top.
There you go.
Well, it awesome. It works. And it's still in the clinic. And it's on my resume. So we are joined again by Dr. Max Kerr with Sleep Better Austin, talking about obstructive sleep apnea. Dr. Kerr, thanks for joining us again today.
Pleasure.
So in the last segment, we talked a little bit about what causes obstructive sleep apnea and then what symptoms people can have. Why don't you briefly go through maybe how people get diagnosed with it, what is the testing that happens, and then address some of the myths that people have about testing treatment.
That's a great topic. First of all, it's incredibly easy. And again, I want to cheer you guys for doing this at such a grand scale. I mean, y'all are testing almost every single one of your patients because what we see, and how many people do you think listen to this?
Two.
Maybe
four.
Seven.
Four. Well,
my dad doesn't listen.
We see
two of us.
We see one out of four people. Adults in the Western Hemisphere have sleep apnea. So
wow.
Quite a bit of people, and that's why I want to congratulate you for testing everybody. And this is also how easy it is. Even a urologist can do it.
Right? Even I can do it.
Right? There it is.
So,
Paybacks are hell.
Yeah, exactly. No, so really it's just a small device that you take home with you. It's a home testing unit. We call it a home sleep test. And you sometimes it's a ring, sometimes it's a ankle, or it's a wrist bracelet. Sometimes it's
just
goes,
like a dentist. He grabbed his wrist. And
ankle, exactly.
Ankle.
I'm, you know, I know the human anatomy very well.
He's a mouth doctor. You know?
Yeah. Or sometimes there's a chest belt, and you just sleep with it. Yeah. And that's it.
You don't have to go to some strange
you
place
do not
anymore.
Have to, not
sleep
anymore.
In somebody's bed.
In fact, insurances are trying not to pay for that.
Oh, sure.
They want people on home sleep tests. And I would argue that it's important because sleep is so fundamental for the health. Everything's downstream from sleep, right? Mm-hmm. If you sleep well, breathe well, eat well, then you're going to live well, right? And so what we do is we help people get these testing units. We help physicians get these testing units.
And insurance pays for these things.
Insurance pays
like,
for these.
It's
exactly.
Not like it's going to be a big out-of-pocket expense.
Exactly. And it's just a night in your own bed. There's nothing special or nothing hard about it at all.
And the machine keeps track of all the data.
And then we upload it to the cloud, and then we get to see all the data.
And what you see over the night for our listeners is that it tracks how... If your chest is expanding, so it knows
correct.
If you're breathing, and then what your oxygen level does throughout the night.
Correct.
And so then you calculate something called what? The apnea index?
The AHI, apnea hypopnea index. Apnea is where the airway totally closes down. Hypopnea is when it partially closes down. So yes, we count that, how many times your airway closes down throughout the night, and then we divide it by the number of hours slept.
Oh.
And so we know that being overweight is a big risk factor.
Mm-hmm.
We know that people can just genetically have the factor.
Correct.
And people that don't look like they would have either big necks or, you know, trouble breathing at night could all be at risk for this. And so people are often scared of being diagnosed because they're afraid of.
Well, they think they're going to have to do a CPAP.
They think they're going to have a CPAP. Tell us what a CPAP is.
Well,
a
CPAP is a mask that goes over your nose and or your mouth, and it blows air into your nose and mouth to splint your airway open using pressurized air. When we do this, we can maintain an open airway and breathe through it effectively. And a CPAP's wonderful if you can sleep with it.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is 50% of the patients that have been prescribed CPAP, they can't deal with it.
Yeah, and I think the other 50% are lying.
Yeah, probably.
So I think the number of people that aren't using their CPAP, I think there's so many that are just collecting dust in people's houses. It is obscene to look at. It is
it's not very sexy.
It is not sexy.
Which could help with your erectile medicines, right? So we prescribe a CPAP and some erectile medicines.
CPAP and some Tadalafil. Yeah. And so then people just see commercials upon commercial about how to clean their dirty CPAPs. Yeah. But those patients that have severe sleep apnea that use their CPAP, they always tell me how revolutionary it was to changing their life.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's a life changer, literally. I mean, if you're getting sleep, you're actually living, right? And so the problem
Maybe like 10%. So what do the other 90% do? Because we have ENTs on the show and they're always trying to operate on people and do stuff like that. I mean, you have a middle solution.
Yeah.
Why don't you tell us about your solution?
So what we do is we use an oral device that brings the lower jaw forward. When we bring the lower jaw forward, it opens the upper airway. It's just like a night guard. Insurance pays for this. This is through medical insurance. And what we see based upon our data, we looked last year in 2023 and we took a collection of data and saw who was the best responders. We saw that 75% of our patients that were treated with one of our devices actually felt better and got to normal sleep.
Wow. 75%.
75%. So it's we try to market to people that can't tolerate CPAP. I don't want to, if people love their CPAP, like you said, I want to congratulate them and cheer them on.
Absolutely.
But for the people that can't deal with it, then we're your option. Because again, sleep is so fundamental to health. You're going to have urologic problems. You're going to have cardiovascular problems. You're going to have neurologic problems. You're going to have endocrine problems if you're not sleeping well.
My kids are scouts. And those guys that have severe sleep apnea, I mean, some of them will carry a generator and their CPAP with them. But if they don't, not only do they snore,
they're waking everybody else up.
So I have touted the use of a dental appliance for those times that you're traveling.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Or if you're going on a hunting trip with me.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I need to get some sleep
myself.
What's
funny is I went fishing with Dustin and I forgot my device. And in the middle of the night, like, he punched me. He was like, hey, dude, you got to stop because I was snoring so loud.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. But then he started doing it too.
That's funny. So I mean, this issue of the dental appliance, you shouldn't just get one off Amazon, right? I mean, what's the difference between one that you just get off the internet and one that's specifically designed to you by a dentist?
So that dovetails into the side effects that we see. So there's about three side effects that we run into. There's soreness that tends to go away after about 7 days after wearing the device. It can change your bite. Now, this happens to about 1 to 5% of my patient load, so it doesn't happen all that often. Now, if you were to use an over-the-counter device, we see those side effects can drastically increase, right? So you're probably going to be pretty sore when wearing an over-the-counter device. It's not titratable, so I don't know exactly how effective I am if I'm actually treating.
That's right, because your devices can be changed or adjusted based upon how well it's working.
Exactly, and we do a bunch of follow up to verify that it's actually working as well with a bunch of sleep tests as well, and then it can change your teeth. It can make your teeth feel or change in position, because these over the counter devices they'll kind of mold. They're not strong enough, and so they'll actually kind of warp your jaw and warp your bite. So I say it's probably good for about 3 weeks. After that, you need to throw them away. And so what we do is our devices should last anywhere from 5 to 10 years. I've had mine for the past 5 years now, and it looks fine. It's relatively easy to clean. It's not like a CPAP where you have to.
And your teeth aren't buck teethy at all.
No. I haven't had any bite change. I haven't had any teeth changing at all. They're very comfortable and easy to wear. And this is designed to stay with you for the grand majority of your life, at nighttime, especially every single night, the night that you want to sleep well.
And so for our listeners, again, where you were diagnosed, if you have a diagnosis of sleep apnea, is going to really color how you get treated.
Right.
So if you went somewhere and all you got offered was a CPAP, or you went somewhere and all you were offered was a major reconstruction of your throat, just remember that there's other alternatives.
Correct.
And people can come directly to see you, right, Dr. Kerr?
Yes, sir.
At sleepbetteraustin.com. Yes, sir.
Yeah, and if they haven't had a test, they can come see you because
absolutely.
You do such a great
absolutely.
Job testing
so
everybody.
So we would be happy to do that. You know, you guys can do it. How do people get a hold of you and make an appointment?
So I'm on all the social media channels, Max Kerr, Dr. Max K on Instagram, the Max Kerr on Twitter, and then
what's your Pornhub?
They outlawed
the
me.
Max Kerr.
They outlawed me in Texas.
Okay. K-E-R.
They did. People were having trouble because they were trying to magnify the screen way too much to see anything worth anything. And they were getting a bunch of negative press.
It's really a specialty item.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The four people that listen to this podcast were likely interested in my videos. No, actually. And then in Austin, Texas.
And you have your own podcast, right?
No.
Okay.
What my friend does. It's called Sleeping Around. No,
Dr. Hedgecock.
Yeah.
Dirty.
And so he is a dirty man. No, we're here in Austin, Texas. We have seven locations. We have six locations in Austin, Texas, one in Bentonville, Arkansas. So we treat anybody in and around Austin, Texas. Sleepbetteraustin.com. AustinSleepApneaTreatment.com. You know, you just Google that and we're around.
Wow.
So sleepbetteraustin.com. Dr. Kerr, you know, for our listeners, you really are my dentist and I really am your urologist.
Yeah.
And our pairing in terms of how we've treated patients, I think that we've made a really big impact.
Oh, we've given them their life.
And culturally, you know, for our own practice, knowing that we offer the opportunity to test and then send people for treatment for sleep apnea, I think is something that puts us over the top.
Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us. Donna, how do people get a hold of us?
You can call us at 512-238-0762, our website, armormenshealth.com. Round Rock, North Austin, South Austin, Dripping Springs. And don't forget to listen to our podcasts wherever you podcast.
The Armor Men's Health Show is brought to you by NAU Urology Specialists. For questions or to schedule an appointment, please call 512-238-0762 or online at armormenshealth.com.